Light was the very first thing that God created. The star that the Magi followed was light from God to lead them to the Savior. The wise men, the Magi, we call them the three kings, they were drawn to the light. God provides holy light. And when God provides light, that light gives hope. And that light leads us to the Savior. The Epiphany star shined upon all that was good. The Epiphany star shined above the Savior, the newborn King, the Savior of the world. But the light of Epiphany also shined on what's wrong in the world. Isaiah said it clearly, darkness will cover the earth. Even though that star is there, darkness will cover the earth. Thick darkness will cover the people. Evil Herod is a major part of the Epiphany story. And we heard last Sunday why the wise men avoided going back to Herod. Because Herod went to kill the children 2 years and under so that he could kill this newborn king. So Epiphany reminds us that there's those people in the world who want all the honor, all the glory. There are people who want all the power. Our Epiphany story ultimately tells us no. No. Epiphany proclaims to us that all the honor, all the glory, all the power belong to God. And there is the light. And when those try to take that power or think they can take that power from God, they are in thick darkness. And who wants to live their lives in darkness? Oh, unfortunately, some do. Why? Because in the darkness, there's power. In the darkness, there's wealth. In the darkness, there's control over others. And so people do choose to live in darkness. In the time of Isaiah, the people of Israel had been in exile for 70 years. That's two generations of people in those days. And after they returned, there was rebuilding to be done. Their home was in shambles. The temple had been ruined. It was no longer even beautiful. That was the term that they could not say about their own temple. There was a tremendous amount of work to be done to restore their homes and their temple. And so even though they were home, it was a time of darkness. Right in front of them was all the darkness. When things are broken, and when things are in shambles like that, the darkness can get thicker, to use Isaiah's term. Depression can set in. Joe and I have a front closet door where we put our coats, and it's fallen off the track 3 times in the past month. Now, the first time, to reinstall it, it took me 45 minutes. The second time, I fixed it in 10 minutes. Now, as I tried to fix it the third time, a spring that was in the mechanism popped out. And I looked, and I looked, and I looked in the coats, in the shoes, in the boots. I looked for that spring, and I couldn't find it. So I had a disconnected door. And every time I walked past it, it looked like the place was a mess. It wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Now, last Tuesday was our family Christmas gathering. I didn't want it to look that way. I wanted it to be fixed. But I couldn't find the spring. So I went to the basement and looked through my toolboxes to see if I could find a replacement spring. Who has springs? Now, I know Bob's got one. But I don't. I've never been accused of being a handyman in any way. But I looked, no spring. And then I looked over at my computer desk, and on my desk is one of my favorite pens. And I took it apart, and inside that ballpoint pen was a spring that looked even better than the spring that I had lost, even stronger. I took that spring, and in 5 minutes, I had that door fixed. Now, of course, this is a very small example of something that's been broken that gets fixed. But still, to use the words of Isaiah, my heart was radiant. I was thrilled. I was rejoicing. I said to Joe, "I am a handyman." And Joe said, "Yes, you're a handyman." And that's how God wants us to live our lives, in the big things overall. God wants us, our hearts, to be radiant and thrilled and rejoicing. That's what God wants for our lives. God doesn't want us to live in the darkness. And when we think the darkness is the place to live, our hearts will not rejoice. And this is what Isaiah was telling the people. Arise, rise up, repair the temple. Supplies are on the way. There's gold coming. There's frankincense coming from afar. You'll be able to worship in this temple again. It's going to be fixed. Rise up. Gather your sons and daughters together, Isaiah said. Rebuild your lives. Rebuild your family. Worship is central for your lives. Because God is giving you light. And you, Isaiah was saying, are drawn to that light. Now, the people in Isaiah's time didn't realize that it would be 14 generations before a new light would appear, before that Bethlehem star would come. But they believed it. Even though the wait would be long, even though they would not be alive to see that Bethlehem star, they believed that their salvation would come. And they listened to the prophet. And they did what was right. They fixed the doors. They fixed their lives. They fixed their families. They prepared the way for the Savior. A certain family was preparing to go to their grandparents for a Christmas gathering. Now, the parents instructed the children to refrain from nagging about opening presents. Don't nag. First, we're going to eat. Then we're going to have some conversation. We're going to talk. Don't nag. And they told the children, I don't even want to hear the P word, presents. Well, as the meal ended, one great-grandchild came to the table. And his dad, the way his dad is, decided to test him. He asked him, "Son, "What are we here for today?" The child answered with a big smile, "We're here for love." What a beautiful answer. We're here for love. But his dad wasn't finished. And he said, another test. "What else are we here for?" And the young child said, "Oh, there's another word. There's another word." And he was struggling. And he said out loud, "I can't say the P word. I can't think of the other word." And by the way, this is a true story because I was there. And I looked across to my great-grandchild and I said, "Joy." And he lit up and said, "Yes, we're here for love and joy." And that became the theme of our family gathering this past week. Love and joy. And that's what's been going on in this church. That's what's been going on in this congregation. We've had Advent, we've had Christmas, we have Epiphany. And these celebrations are all about love and joy. A little bit later, we're going to sing about the Three Kings choir. And I want you to listen to the words carefully, because that theme of love and joy, as we were rehearsing today, it's right there in that. So listen for the words for that theme of love and joy. Now, every year in my almost 50 years as a pastor, I hear after Epiphany's over, and people will come in next week and they'll say, "Oh, the sanctuary looks so bare." And it does. No trees, no strings of lights, no decorations, no chrismons, no Advent wreath, no nativity scene. It'll all be gone. So what remains? After these decorations come down today, after the great fun of doing that, little word to remind you to help. After all of that's done, what remains? Love and joy. We've been drawn to the light. And we have in that light love and joy. We're here because we've been drawn to Jesus Christ, who gives us love and deep inner joy. Now, as we're here at worship, we all have some kind of darkness in our hearts or in our souls. But we come here. We come to worship because we're drawn to the light. Isaiah said to the people, "Lift up your eyes and look around." And these words are appropriate for today. Look around. As we look around, we see the tree and the nativity scene and the poinsettias, decorations. I took some photos. I want to capture this feeling before worship. I took some photos so that I could capture it one more time. But our worship isn't only about the D word, decorations. We're here together because we're drawn to the light. We're here to experience the presence of the Savior. And when the decorations are down and we come back for worship, Jesus will be here. And we can still experience and always experience the love and the joy. So today we ask ourselves, what needs to be fixed in our lives? What part of our lives feels like it's a mess, large or small? What is breaking? What is broken in our lives? And what will we do about it? Will we give up? Will we just sit in darkness? Will we let the darkness overtake us? Or will we rise up, as Isaiah called the people? Will we rise up and rebuild? That's what we'll do. 14 generations before Christ, Isaiah told the people how this happens, how we can rebuild. Isaiah said, "Arise, shine, your light has come, and here it is, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Isaiah was telling the people, God is the one who gives the light. Isaiah was saying that this light is so powerful that it will attract all nations. People from the east will come to worship the King. God's light is for all people, and all people will be drawn to the light. Now, I was really impressed by the patience of the great-grandchildren this past week, and there was no whining. And they never did say the P word, presence. They waited patiently. And they learned, and we celebrated what it meant to be together, love and joy. Now, don't get me wrong, the presence and the time of the presence was fun. But even after the presents were unwrapped and all the wrapping paper was put in the trash, and one of the broken toys was tossed away, what remained and what still remains is love and joy. After the decorations are down after worship, what remains in this place, in this church family, is the love and the joy of our faith. People of God, how's your journey going? Is there anything breaking or broken? Is something missing? Is there illness? Is there grief? Is there suffering? Are you struggling with anything? Arise. Shine. Your light has come. Choose the light. Reject greed. Reject selfishness. Reject worldly power. Enjoy the decorations. Enjoy the presents. Enjoy the good times. But hang on for dear life to the love and joy that God gives us. Arise. You're drawn to the light, and God always gives us love and joy. Let us pray. In our prayer, we speak to God. Lord God, sometimes the darkness in our lives is strong. Sometimes it's overwhelming. Lord God, sometimes things are breaking. Oh Lord, sometimes things are broken. We ask you for healing and for strength. We pray, Lord God, that you give us forgiveness and hope. And give us the tools that we need to rebuild. Give us the love and the joy. And bind together a church family so that together we can experience love and joy. And in our prayer, we listen to God. This is what God, I believe, is saying to us today. Arise, my child. Here is light. Receive the light, receive the love, receive the joy, receive my son. People of God, God is telling us, receive your Savior.